I want to spend a couple of minutes this morning, and I want to just share with you what the message of Easter is all about. And again, if you listen to the words of some of the songs that the choir sang, you already know the message. But it's a message that, and just for a way of presenting it and dividing it up, that has three points. The message of Easter, first of all, is a message of love. There were several songs in the cantata that conveyed that thought. But I think the one that did it the best, one that we're most familiar with, is that song that that's called the O Rugged Cross. We sang a couple verses, but the first verse goes like this: on a hill far away stood an O rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. That conveys the message of Easter, the message of love. Because it says that on that cross, the dearest and the best was slain. Of course, talking about the Son of God. Can you think of two more words that more aptly describe Jesus than the dearest and the best? There wasn't a more perfect man that walked on the face of the earth than Jesus. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Of course, we know that he was the Prince of Heaven, but he laid all that aside and he came to earth and took the form of man, it tells us in the book of Philippians, and became obedient unto death. Now, I want you to get the picture. I mean, here he was, the Prince of Heaven. All the angels were at his beck and call. He sat at the right hand of the Father. He spoke. In fact, and worlds came into existence. Everything that we see about us that was created, that we call our home down here on this earth, was created by the words of Christ. And yet he laid aside his Godhead, left heaven, left the fellowship of God and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, left the perfection of heaven, and came and was born of a virgin, took the form of a man, and lived among us for 33 years. Jesus experienced everything that we experience. He faced every test that we face. And yet the Bible says he did that without sin. So when the songwriter put words to paper and he wrote, it was on that old cross where the dearest and best was slain, he could be talking about nobody else but Jesus. Nobody else but him. He is the dearest. He is the best. And he went to that cross, not again for any sin that he committed, but for the sins that we commit. The Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And because we're sinners, we deserve to pay the price for our sin. We deserve to pay the penalty for our sin. And the Bible says the penalty for our sin is death. And separation from God forever in that place called hell. I mean, that's what we deserve. That's what every single person, I don't care how good you are this morning, and there's some mighty good folks in this room this morning. Some of you I know and some of you I don't know. I know your family and I know your friends. There's some mighty wonderful folks in this room this morning, but let me tell you, according to the Bible, we're all sinners. When we compare ourselves to the Son of God, we come up short. And because of that sin, the Bible says we're under the penalty of death. Eternal death. But here's the message of Easter of love. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. Again, he walked among us for 33 years. He lived a perfect life. And then, as the choir sang about, he went to that old rugged cross. And he died for every single one of us. Brother Gordon brought in a replica of the spikes that were nailed through the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, when we read the Bible, unless we think about it, we think of spikes in the way we think about them today. And we were talking just a moment ago before the service, and I said, yeah, when I think of a spike, I think of a 16-penny nail. You know, a big, long spike, but nowhere near compared to this. Can you imagine what it must have been like as they laid him on that cross and they drove this spike through his wrists and then through his feet? That was love. The Bible says, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. when we were apart from God because of our sin, His only begotten Son went to the cross and died for us. And the Bible says, as it talks about that love, in a verse that's familiar to many of us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that's the message of love of Easter. Listen, I don't know about you, but this excites me to think that the God that created the universe loves me and loves you. And not only just loves us in an emotional sort of way, but loves us enough to send Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends." And God loved us so much, even that while we were yet sinners, before we could be called the friends of God, God came in the form of a man, and He laid down His life for us on the cross. You can't find a greater expression of love than that. And I would just ask every single person, as you sit here, just in the next moment, think about your life. Compare it to Jesus. See all the sin that's in it. And know that God loved you enough to send Jesus to die in your place on Calvary's cross. The message of Easter is a message of love. Second of all, the message of Easter is a message of victory. We sang that song. It's not a familiar song. It's not our hymn book. We don't sing it like we do the old rugged cross. But it has a wonderful message to it. It goes, "He is risen. He is risen. Tell it out with joyful sound." And by the way, that's what we ought to be doing on Easter. Easter's not about the Easter bunny and hiding eggs and getting candy and all that good stuff. The message of Easter is, tell it out with joyful voice. He is risen. He is risen. He has burst the 3-day prison. 3 days and 3 nights He lay in the tomb. And the Roman soldiers were posted guard around that tomb. Satan and all his demons were posted guard around that tomb. And all the demons of hell and all the soldiers of the Roman Empire couldn't keep Him in that tomb. He is risen. The song goes, "Let the whole wide earth rejoice. Death is conquered. We are free. Christ has won the victory." The message of Easter is a message of victory. Victory over death. Victory over the tomb. Victory over the corruption that comes by death. You know, there were others that came back to life before Jesus did. If you remember in the Old Testament, Elijah brought a boy back from the dead. If you remember when Elijah was dead and he was buried in a tomb, they threw another dead man in the tomb on top of him. And when that dead man touched the bones of Elijah, he was brought back to life. Jesus brought people back to life in the New Testament. You remember He called Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days, out of the grave. He broke up a funeral one time in a city called Nain when a widow, her only son, had died, and the funeral procession was going through the city, and Jesus stopped it and called that young man back to life. And then there was a little girl, Jairus' daughter, who was dead for just a few minutes, and Jesus came into her room and lifted her from death. And they all came back to life, but they all have one thing in common. They all died again. They all died again. I mean, they died twice. They died once, and either Elijah or Jesus or somebody else brought them back from the dead, but they died a second time physically. I mean, they were probably older, and it maybe happened much later for all of them, but every single person that came back from the dead died again, except for Jesus. That's what makes Him unique. That's what makes Him different from every other person that's come back from the dead. When He arose, when He came back from the dead, He arose to die no more. He arose to live forever. And that's what gives us victory in the Christian life. That's what gives us victory. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to fear the grave. Now look, that's what we all deserve. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. And you might say this morning, well, I'm not so bad. I'm a pretty good guy. Yeah, if you compare yourself to me or to Brother Dick, you might be able to say, I'm not so bad. But don't compare yourselves to us. Compare yourself to Jesus. How do you measure up to Him? And because we don't measure up to Him, we all are under the penalty of death. And death is to be feared. Because death means eternal separation from God. But the message of Easter, and as we studied about it in our Sunday school lesson this morning, if it wasn't for Easter, we would have no hope. As Paul said, we would be men most miserable because we'd be under the penalty of death because of our sins. The message of Easter is a message of love. God loves you as an individual. The message of Easter is a message of victory. He offers you victory over your sins and deliverance from that eternal death. That's the penalty for our sins. And then number three, the message of Easter is not only a message of love, a message of victory, but it's also a message of hope. Of hope. When the Lord returns, we shall all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, all the dead in Christ shall be raised to life and will meet Him in the sky. The hope of Easter is that if you receive the Savior, if you claim His death on the cross to pay for your sins, then the hope that you have is that Jesus is coming back to get you. Brother Clint read the scripture from John chapter 14 where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again that ye may be where I am." That's the hope of Easter. The hope of Easter is that resurrected Christ who went to heaven and has been in heaven ever since will one day come back and get us. Some have died. Their bodies lay in the earth. Their souls are already with Christ. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And many of us know people this morning that are in heaven with Jesus. When He comes back, if we're still alive, there's going to be a trumpet that sounds. There's going to be a loud voice that will say, "Come up hither." And every Christian, well, we won't be the first ones to go because all those bodies of the dead Christians will come out of the grave first. We won't precede them. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the hope of Easter. The hope of Easter is that we get to go and live with Jesus forever. And by the way, dear friend, that's what eternal life is. There's a lot of wonderful things about heaven. The street of gold, the food of heaven, the no night in heaven, no pain in heaven, no tears in heaven. But the most wonderful thing about heaven, the thing that makes eternal life, life, is that we get to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We sang that last chorus of Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. After we've been there 10,000 years, we'll just be started to sing His praise. The hope of Easter is Jesus Christ. We sang that song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Let me ask you this morning, are you leaning on His name? Have you received Him as your Savior? That's the message of Easter. I mean, and it would be vain, and I feel sorry for those people that are going to go to a church this morning and not hear about the Savior, not hear about the message of Easter. Because this is what it's all about. It's the fact that God loved you enough to send His Son to die in your place. The fact that He went to the grave and after 3 days came out of that grave defeating death, showing us all that we do not have that to fear anymore, that He's more powerful than death. And then the hope that comes from knowing Christ as your Savior. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never said to Him, you say, Brother Darrell, I don't understand what you mean. What does it mean to receive Jesus as your Savior? All right, let me tell you. Real quickly, I'm almost done. Number one, it means to admit that you're a sinner. That you will say to yourself and God, yep, when the preacher talks about us all being sinners, put me down in that category. I'm not as good as Christ. I've done some things I should not have done. I haven't done some things I should have done. And when I compare myself to Jesus Christ, I see that I don't measure up to His standard of perfection. I admit that that makes me a sinner. I'm a sinner. That's the first step, for you to admit that you're a sinner. Number two is to understand, based on this book, that there's a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is eternal death. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Hell. That's the penalty that we deserve because we're sinners. Then number three, to know that when Christ went to Calvary, He took all of your sins, all the sins that you committed, and put them on Himself. And as He hung on that cross, as He died on that cross, He was paying the price for your sin in the sight of God. I mean, that's what the Bible says. That's what Easter's all about. He took your place. We should have been crucified. We should have hung on that cross. We were the sinners. But Jesus took our place. And if you'll simply receive that, in other words, say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I am depending on what Jesus did for me on Calvary and nothing else to take care of my sin. That's what it means to receive Christ. Where you say with your heart and with your mind, Jesus, I'm depending on You and Your death on Calvary and nothing else. It's not the church. It's not baptism. It's not living a good life. The only thing that your salvation depends on is what you do with Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this morning, I ask you to examine your life. I ask you to examine the relationship that you have with God. Has there been a moment in your life where you came to God and you said, and not these exact words, but has there been a moment, a time in your life when you've come to God and you've said this, I know I'm a sinner, I know I deserve hell, but I want to depend on Jesus and what He did for me on Calvary. And right now, I receive Him as my Savior. There needs to be a moment. There needs to be a time in your life. Again, not those exact words, but where you do that. Where you admit to God that you're a sinner, and you tell Him you're depending on Christ to make you right with Him. And if there has not been a moment like that, I mean, if you look back over your life, and you have to say honestly, Preacher, I don't remember a time. I don't know a time. I can't remember a moment when I did that. And I would ask you to make right now, March 31st, 2002, at 5 minutes before 12, I would ask you to make this moment that moment where you look to God and say, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But I believe that when Christ went to the cross, He died for me. And at this moment, March 31st, 2002, 5 minutes before noon, on Easter Sunday morning, I'm asking and receiving Christ as my Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You can become a child of God this morning simply with your heart and mind accepting Christ and what He did for you on Calvary. And if you're here this morning and have not had a moment like that, then make this moment that moment. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for all those that are here this morning that do not know Jesus as their personal Savior. They've never had a moment in their life where they've looked to heaven and admitted that they were a sinner, knew that there was a penalty for that sin, and received Christ and what He did on Calvary to pay for that sin. And Father, I know we have a lot of visitors here this morning. It doesn't matter. I know we have folks that come off and on. It doesn't matter. I know we have folks that come every week. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what category they're in. What matters is, do they know Christ as their Savior? Do they have the hope for heaven? Do they know firsthand the love that surrounds Easter? And I pray for them this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to them. You would confirm in their soul the truth of the Bible, as I've tried to present it this morning, and you would help that person right now decide to receive Christ and to become one of His. I pray for the many Christians that are here as well, Father. I pray that as we've been reminded of what was paid for our salvation, we would love our Savior more. We'd be a better servant. We'd be a better ambassador. We'd be a better representative for Him. And on this Easter Sunday and the days that follow, we would lift our voice with joy and we would shout, He is risen. He is risen. That's our hope for heaven. He is risen. Bless the invitation now. I pray, Father, those that don't know Christ would decide, they would use this moment to decide to make Jesus theirs. For it's His name we pray. Amen.